to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First topic on the agenda tonight, superintendent's report.
Yeah, before I introduce Mr. Soto, who's going to present the enrollment and staffing projections for the 17-18 school year, that's going fast. I just wanted to announce, and I want to thank two of the board members that came today, but today we got to visit all our buildings, and we had the opportunity to give out some very worthy awards to five people that are involved with San Mateo School District. So I just thought I would announce them here publicly. It's on the website, we're going to do a lot more as we go forward. But the Scope Shining Above the Rest Awards was awarded this morning to Dr. Patty Patricia Flynn Trace from the high school, Miss Danielle Sirico from the elementary school, Miss Maria Crucia, as you all know, the secretary in the middle school, Miss Cassie Caputo, an organizer of many of our volunteer programs out there, and Miss Nancy Ward, our officer Ward, as we all know her, as a Suffolk County SRO officer. So it was exciting today. It was on the 20th. I think it's coming up on March 20th. You might want to mark your calendars. There'll be an award night Scope holds over in Holbrook at Villa Lombardi's. I have, for anybody out there, if you want with me tonight,
Notice of the
notice of the night of the night and where it's going to be. You have to fill it out. You have to have it into Regina in my office by February 17th. So I'll have those out here if you want to take one, Board of Education. But it was great tonight, today, and I think the board appreciated that walking around and each one of them so well deserved. Deserving of this award, and very exciting. And every year we go to this night, and I hope everyone goes, and it's exciting. So I just wanted to publicly state that. And now I will give the floor to Mr. Ricardo Soto.
Okay, thank you. Board of Education, I don't know if you want to sit here. I do have packets for you that has the presentation in front of you. It's entirely up to you.
Thank you.
As to where you'd like to sit.
Sure.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I want to begin by thanking the Board of Education and Superintendent of Schools for granting me the opportunity to present the enrollment and staffing projection for the 17-18 school year. Now, we find ourselves in January. I can't believe that we're already talking about the 17-18 school year. I remember just a few months ago, we were in September, and the kids were coming in, the staff were coming in. Now we're already planning for the 17-18 school year. But that is part of the process. It seems as though as soon as we walk in to the beginning of the school year, we're sort of thinking to the future. We're thinking to next year. So the first slide that you're going to see is the enrollment history of the elementary school. One of the things I like to look at, we like to look at as an administrative team, is the five-year projection in terms of where do we stand now versus where we stood 5 years ago. As you can see, in 2013, the 13-14 school year, we had 699 students enrolled at the elementary. Next year, we are projecting 645 students, which is a drop of about 55 students. So from our perspective, it could be a drop of two sections, it could be a drop of three sections, but it's a trend that has been happening over the last, I want to say about 3 or 4 years, Board. And we did discuss it last year, we're discussing it again this year, and unfortunately the trend looks like it's going to continue to decline over the next few years. And one of the ways that we have to determine that is in 2015 we actually got a study conducted by Western Suffolk BOCES that looked at our enrollment. Last year we were a little off, or they were a little off in terms of their projections. They projected that the kindergarten class, and it all really depends on the kindergarten class, because we know where we stand right now from K to 12 or K to 11, so we just sort of push those grades forward. The one sort of enigma for us is K. because we do have the numbers for the students that are currently in our pre-K program, which we have any year anywhere from 48 to about 52. So that is a given number that we have. But there are a lot of students that attend private preschool programs. There are some students that don't attend preschool programs. So with that, we don't necessarily have that solid number. So we have to look at data. We have to rely on different projections, different enrollment reports to give us an idea as to what that enrollment would look like. So like I said, last year, Western Suffolk Boces had projected 95 students. We came at 90. So we were short by 5, which is not a lot, but it does sort of affect our bottom number. Now, the next slide that I wanted to present to the board is a table that kind of looks at the entire elementary school, K to 5. So reading it from left to right, you look at the grade, we look at the total number of students in that particular grade, and we then look at, we extract these self-contained students, because those are the students that are in a special program, and they're not necessarily in a typical classroom. Then we look at, then we subtract the self-contained students. We look at how many general education students we have left, which is the fourth column here. Then we look at the amount of sections we had for the 16-17 school year, which is the next column, and then the average amount of students we had in those particular grades. Then we project it onward to 16-17-18. So we take these numbers and we bring up, or we take, yes, these numbers and we bring them down. So what we're looking at next year, we're looking at the possibility, Western Suffolk Boces have projected that we will have 93 kindergarten students. So we feel that it's a safe assumption that maybe they might be 5 off again, so we're projecting at 88. We know for a fact, looking at programs, looking at preschool programs, that we are going to have anywhere from 4 to 5 students that will be in a self-contained program. So that will leave us with 84 students. Now, that is the same number of students we have this year in our general education program. We have roughly about 16 students per section. So there are two possibilities that we want to discuss and propose to the Board of Education and community for their consideration. The first is that we can look at the projection of 5 sections for grade K. So we're looking at 84 students, 5 sections, would give us a total of exactly what we have this year, which is 16.8 a section. If we decided to go with 4 sections, which was a discussion after we had the 84, it would give us an average class size of 21. Last year we had this discussion regarding the, despite the fact that we knew that we would have only about 90 students in that particular K class, that the numbers would be roughly about 21 per class, we supported the discussion that possibly keeping the K grade at 5 because of the difficulties that some kindergarten students have with transitioning to kindergarten.
So let me just ask a question.
Yes.
On the 84, so we have 90 today.
We have 90 today.
84 general ed in kindergarten today.
Yes.
What did we project when you stood here last
year? Last year we projected 95.
So you projected 95 or 10?
We projected 90 and 5 within a self-contained environment.
Okay. So today, the 84 that you're projecting, you had said something that 93 were projected by the 2015?
Yes, that is correct.
So, and you're projecting 84?
88. And I know for a fact that there are 4, yes, that will be in a self-contained
environment. Okay, so it's 89 to 84. Basically,
yes,
you're saying 5 or less. And the basis of that is data from UPK and what you know, or is it just we were 5 less last year?
Well, it's data from UPK, and it's also the data from the Western Suffolk BOCES projection study that was conducted in 2015. And that is...
But that one says 89.
That one says 83. I mean, 93.
Minus 4.
Yes, minus 4 will be 89. That is correct.
Okay.
So, once again, going back to kindergarten, one of the things that we know is that kindergarteners transition to their first grade as a kindergartner. They come from a pre-K program that's generally speaking is 2.5 hours a day. So now they transition to a program that's 6 hours a day. It's a big change for them. Most of our students transition very well, and some don't. So because of that, we wanted to kind of lower the student-to-teacher ratio for management needs. So that was the discussion we had last year. It's the same discussion we're having this year, but as we move through the process, one of the things that we have to consider is that this is the first budget presentation that we're offering to the community and the Board of Education. This process is sort of a fluid process in the sense that we're still looking at the projected numbers for our revenue and expenditures for the 17-18 school year. Based on that, we may have to rethink this. We have to look at this and determine where we stand from a financial point of view and how do we maintain the programs we have in place and try to still promote student growth. So that's, once again, I just wanted to present both scenarios to the Board of Education. The next piece that we are proposing is the reduction, actually the same as we have currently this year in first grade, where we are projecting four sections in first grade. So we're projecting four sections in second grade, four sections in third, and then we're projecting that in fourth and fifth, we're projecting to, or making a recommendation to keep those sections at five, to keep the grades at five sections apiece, which gives us a total, Board of Education, of anywhere from 27 if we went for the reduction of the one section from grade K to 1, or 26 if the recommendation was to reduce the incoming kindergarten class from 5 to 4 sections. So that is a reduction from FTEs, at least on the general education side at the elementary level, from 28 that we have this year to 27 or possibly 26. Okay. Special education, it's remaining somewhat stagnant. We have a little bit of a change. We're projecting our 8-1-1 classes to be the same at two sections, our 12-1-1 sections to be the same at three, and our DCT classrooms to be the same at five sections apiece. Before I move on, are there any questions regarding this one slide? I know I hit you guys with a lot of information. I apologize.
Can you explain the total seats and the available seats?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the total seats is basically contractual. At the elementary level, we seldom do, but we can have classes at 29. That's the contractual number based on the CMTA. Now, we seldom do. We have had to do it in the past. So what you're looking at with the total of five sections, you have a total seats of 141 seats. Now, with the five sections in kindergarten, you have available seats of 57 because you're really only filling 84. So it's a lot of seats that you have available, meaning you have those available before we have to look at the possibility of going beyond 29, which thankfully we have not, had that experience, with the exception of the 1 year when grade five that we had a couple classes where we did reduce that grade to four sections and we added 29. So the last column, and thank you for that question, Loriann, I neglected to mention that. But the last column is just the available seats based on the cap size that's available at the elementary level. Okay.
Yep.
Any additional questions? Okay. So now we look at the staffing. In terms of, this is just a breakdown of every staff member that we have at the elementary. I'll just run this through very quickly. We have a principal. We have an assistant principal who's here this evening with the greeting. Thank you. We have three academic intervention services, AIS services, which is a mandated service that we have to provide to our students in grades 3 to 5, actually K to 5 at this point with the RTI model. Art is a mandate. Behavior consultant, we have a 0.33 because the person is district-wide. English language learners, which once again is a mandate, is ESL students. We have a librarian. We have music at a 2.0. Paraprofessional. There is an increase, a slight increase in paraprofessional from 34 this year to what we're projecting for next year to be 35. Like I said, I know that there were a couple students coming to us at the pre-K level that will be entering kindergarten that is going to require 1-1-8. So I've already planned for this within this projection. Physical education is at 2.4. Reading teachers is also at 2.4. school nurse. We have a student at the elementary that requires a one-to-one nurse, and we have obviously the building nurse, which makes two. School psychologists, we have two. We did increase it from last year to this year, which thankfully the Board of Education community supported that. We have now that additional clinician that's now stationed at the elementary school. Speech pathologists, we have a 1.8, which is the same we had last year. Teaching assistants, those are the two certified teachers that are within our 811 program. We have two sections at the elementary, so we have two teaching assistants. So that gives us a total of 57.9, which is an increase of one FTE, which is based on the paraprofessional. Okay. Clericals, we have 2.5. We have 2.5 clerical staff at the elementary level. With custodians, we have 5. Buildings and grounds, we have 1. Maintenance, we have 1. The monitors, we have 11. And we have 2 security guards, which gives us the same grand total that we had last year of 22.5. So one of the things I wanted to note in the yellow box here on the top is the fact that that 93.9 or 92.8 is, once again, based on whether or not we decide or the Board of Education recommends the decrease of kindergarten from 5 sections to 4. So that's still a conversation that we still need to have.
Have you looked at all the 5-year growth plan that the building administrators kind of put forth last year and thought about? If you did?
We did.
Is that a different
It's the last slide. Oh. It's the last slide. So in terms of every year, what Mr. Forsyth mentioned, every year we have a conversation with the administrative team to look at the possibility of how can we improve student growth, K-12. What are we going to do to try to, in a sense, sort of better or advance the district moving forward? So as a result of that conversation, the last slide that I'm going to present looks at some of the things that the administrators had recommended as possibilities that they feel are either needed at this time or things that they would like to look for that will be aligned with the 5-year goals.
Yeah, and the only reason we decided not to put them into our proposed budget at this point in time is because, like Mr. Soto said, it's a fluid document, the budget. And until we can get a real better handle on our revenue, we're waiting for the East Bridges numbers, the state aid, and things like that. As we go along the next 3 or 4 presentations, we'll tighten it up and then eventually give you our final recommendation. And that'll actually happen even after the administrators come in and do their academic for success presentation. And then we'll be able to kind of, you know, say where we are. And he's absolutely right about the kindergarten. That's the perfect example. You know, we look at things by growth, and we also take into consideration financial, because you can't not do both. And that's why we're sitting with that number at kindergarten and not deciding yet what our recommendation is going to be.
Now this moves us to the middle school. Now what we see at the middle school is almost the opposite of what... It's actually the opposite of what's happening. I do have to mention, like I said, 5 years ago, we had at the middle school 382 students. We're projecting next year to be at 362, which is just really a decrease over the course of 5 years of 20 students. I do have to just sort of remind the board that the numbers that you see at the elementary eventually is going to move up. So in 5 years, it might look a little different, and then it might catch up again. So that's the process of, like, enrollment. But you look like you have a question, John. No? Okay. So that's what we're projecting for next year. Now, the same type of chart table that I presented for the elementary, the same stands for the middle school. We don't necessarily project a huge change. Actually, from last year to next year, I mean, from this year to next year, we are sort of graduating 114 eighth graders, but we are going to inherit 122 sixth graders. So it kind of balances out, and that's where you see kind of the fluctuation. So we do take that into consideration. We are recommending the same amount of sections that we have for this year, for next year, which is 5 sections of grade, which gives us a total of 15 sections. And let me just explain the total seats and the available seats here, because it's a little different, the machination. And I'm going to explain what that is. So at the middle school level, the contract is a little different for the secondary complex than it is for the elementary. The CMTA, the Center Richards Teachers Association, has a clause in their contract that we have to, as an administrative team, we have to make every effort to try to keep every section at 25. Now, we can go beyond 25, but it is at an expense to the district. Every child that a teacher has beyond 25, the district actually has to compensate the teacher. So it is something that we do take into consideration when we're building a master schedule, because we want to keep those numbers low. We don't necessarily, we think our teachers are worth it, but we don't necessarily want to cost the community anything more than we have to pay. And I think we did a great job this year with the middle school as well as the high school. I think Carol, Ms. Perkins, were very happy this year, because I think those numbers were very low in terms of the overages that we have to pay for students above 25. So that number is, once again, 25. So if you have a class of 122, you have 3 seats remaining. Once again, we can go beyond 25, but it will be at a cost to the district. And we have done it before, and there are times that the situation necessitates that. And the cost of paying a teacher a little over in terms of the overages that the teacher may have in a class is far less than having to furnish a new teacher at $100,000.
Is there a cap on that number they can go over?
Yes, we can't go over the number of 29. So we can, and that's per section. But there's another clause in the contract as well that they can't service more than 150 students a day. So that's where it gets a little interesting, because you have to calculate it, and especially for our PE teachers, our science teachers, because that's where it gets a little interesting, because they can have, a science teacher can have the same group of students for the course of 2 periods. So now they have an AB class, and now the numbers add. So we have to be very careful with that, especially with PE, because PE actually, there are times that we're just touching that 150. And we had the same situation at the last board meeting, or 2 board meetings ago, with our business teacher, Mr. Mitchell, who teaches a 1.4. Because of the fact that he teaches a 1.4, he went beyond the 150. But he was being compensated for the 0.2 that he was teaching over. Yeah. So the CMTA, they understood the situation. They created an MOA with the district that allowed us the flexibility to be able to go beyond the 150 in that particular case. But once again, we do have to be cognizant of the 150, because it is something that, if we get caught up, we have to change things, like change schedules, and Jeremy doesn't want to get that.
So is there just, in 8th grade section, there's 99 gen ed with 5 students. Is the point of this conversation that if necessary, you could have 4 sections there because you could go to 29? Is that where you're...
I mean, you could. You could. That, once again, that is open for discussion. So we had this discussion last year regarding that 99. Mm-hmm. And the opinion at the time, for many reasons, not just for the fact that having a lower teacher-to-student ratio is instructionally more sound, but also from the point of view of scheduling, it made for a better system as a whole. Mm-hmm. So would we have that discussion again? Could we look at the middle school schedule for, as Josh indicated, for that 99, to look at pushing it towards the 4 sections, and we would have literally probably
Still have less than section six.
Yes.
Still have less than grade 6 per class.
We would also, like Mr. Soto said, there's so many points to that. For example, once we start doing that, what happens is teachers' schedules change, and you start having teachers who are teaching both at the high school and middle school. Our goal is always to try to keep, especially with team meetings and professional periods being in the morning, we try to keep all those teachers together if possible. but we can at any point in time change that, but it changes kind of the philosophy of the way we structure our middle school, especially with the MYP International Baccalaureate and people getting trained. So there's a lot of things we can talk about if we come down to that. We can certainly send the board a list of things.
It's a possibility. It may not be a good idea, but
it's a possibility.
I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Of course, but it would have other ramifications in terms of professional development, in terms of the concept of the grade,
but as a team working
together. That's a good question. Based on the math.
Yes, absolutely. You are correct.
Yeah, got it.
Yes. Okay. In the area of special education, we're sort of remaining stagnant. As you can see, we're projecting the same amount of sections that we had this year for next year, which is 8. So that is the middle school. Now, in terms of staffing, of course, we have one principal.
Yeah, you want to say something?
I saw your comment. No, I was just going to say that it's also important to note that it's departmentalized in 8th grade, so it's different than Clay Huey, where you can just reduce a section because everyone has the same certification.
Correct.
In 8th grade, it would be 0.2 math, 0.2 English, 0.2 science, and 0.2 social studies. So you're either accessing a 0.2 in every department, or it's just different than Clay Huey, where you can just divide the number by the total because everyone
teacher.
Is certified in the same thing. They're all 100 certifications. So
we have to keep
that
in
mind.
I mean, we had this discussion last year in terms of would we move the individuals to the high school for the 0.2? Would we create something different? And at the end of the day, the overall, I believe, consensus at the time was to keep it at 5 because of all the factors that we're mentioning, you know, this evening.
Wait, Ricardo, these are things that we're thinking about, though, because coming, I mean, our second grade is going to be 4 sections. Like, in the next couple of years, we are going to have significantly smaller schools.
No, that is
so
correct.
These are, like, coming in the next couple of years, we are going to have to look
in the next, I would say, if you're looking at next year, third grade, we're having 4 sections. The following year, fourth grade, we're having 4. The following year, 5th.
And every grade.
And then exactly.
So 3 years from now, those 5 sections in the middle school will definitely be, assuming that we don't have a mass movement to center.
Potentially. That would be the conversation that we would have. Absolutely. Unless you're right. Unless we had a mass, you know, movement into Seven Riches where we inherit 15, 20 students per grade, which it's possible, but possibly unlikely. Generally speaking, we have maybe 2 or 3 kids that might move in, but to have that many students within one particular grade that's going to affect it to the point that now you're increasing a section as a result of it, That hasn't really occurred, thankfully. I mean, it could, but it hasn't.
So are we thinking about that, vis-a-vis what Melissa said? Meaning, if in 2 or 3 years there will be fewer sections, how will we address that? And obviously, it's not a topic for this conversation, but in our hiring and in our, you know, in our staffing, how do we use those?
Well, that's going to be the question. Can we utilize those 0.2s to advance the 5-year plan of the administrative team? I think we can. Can we use it for remediation purposes? Can we use it for enrichment purposes?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
as
we can.
AIS, as you know, you passed an AIS MOA at one point in time. That will come into effect. We'll be thinking about that. When we've been hiring as many dual certified people as we can, so they possibly could go into one class, like in a special education.
So you could have a math teacher that also teaches one period of special education.
Absolutely.
So we've
Absolutely.
Been trying every time we get resumes. Like right now, we're looking.
That's a requirement.
We're looking at science right now. You know, for Veronica.
At the secondary, right?
Science and special education at the high school level. So we try to do that more and more because it gives us more options when we're doing the master schedule.
It just affords us more flexibility, and from my perspective, looking at special education, I always want someone that understands the nuances of special education, but I want someone that understands the content as well, especially at the high school level. When we're preparing students for Regents examinations and our numbers are, you know, are good, we want to continue to remain well, you know, within our grading, but also we want someone that just understands that content. So that's what we're looking at now. In terms of the staffing, nothing really changed with the exception of paraprofessionals, which I'm just kind of note. Once again, board, everything that you see here is mandated. Even the guidance counselor, one of the things that you have to keep aware of is from the guidance point of view, a guidance counselor is a mandated position at the secondary complex. We are mandated to develop an annual plan, an annual guidance plan for every student, which we do.
And I think Mr. Tuppy does a great job of that. But there are things that we have to sort of do that has to be sort of under the guidance of a guidance counselor, a licensed guidance counselor. So that position is mandated. I just wanted to note that. The librarian is also mandated. There's a regulation in the state of New York State Department of Education that states that if you have over a certain number of students in a secondary complex, and it's 700, you have to have a full-time librarian in the library. So once again, that position is mandated. Everything at the middle school was very interesting, and I've had this conversation with Mrs. Bates many times. All of these positions, ironically, are pretty much mandated. The technology teacher, the music teacher, the art teacher, because these are positions that we need to fill, we need to offer students in the ages of grade six to eight. So once again, like I said, all of those are mandated, with the exception, of course, the social worker, but we would build a case that, you know, developmentally, socially, emotionally, we feel that it is something that is necessary, and we do have one now full-time at the secondary complex that works in middle school as well as the high school. So the growth that you see there, the 38.4, the 4 extra from last year, it's really contributed to the paraprofessionals that you see went from 17 to 21, and that's once again students moving up from the elementary into the middle school. That's really what that is. Okay. There are no changes in terms of the clerical, the custodians, the grounds, the maintenance, everything else remains static.
So if we go through at the end of this and add up all of the FTEs, is there any additional, or is it just district office that isn't included in this?
No, is there any what?
Additional FTEs?
The only additional FTE was the paraprofessional.
I asked the wrong question.
Okay.
If we went through and we added up 34.4 plus 9, and we did that for elementary and high school,
right.
The only additional... Not additional ads for next year, but the only other FTEs that we've got are district office.
Yes.
I mean, everything is in this.
Everything else is coming.
Everything is here.
Yes.
Other than the people that work in this building.
Yes, that is correct. Okay. That is correct.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, you are correct. I'm sorry.
Got it.
All right, so now that takes us to the high school. Now, the high school is a completely sort of different animal. When you discuss a high school, you look at the master schedule, you look at the staffing, it's created in a very different way. But you can see, in terms of the enrollment, it kind of fluctuates. 5 years ago, we had 599. 2 years later, we had 601. Next year, we're projecting 574. And once again, the high school, you have to keep in mind, too, we do get an enrollment from East Mauritius students. Next year, we're projecting possibly 15 to 20 students. So I know Mrs. Stewart is still, looking at that, working with the superintendent at East Mauritius to see if we could, sort of solidify that. They do have up to mid-February to make a decision. So some of the students are still looking, some of the parents are still looking, some of the parents are still visiting schools. We actually had an email visit last week that I think went well, that Ms. Wayburn attended. And it's, a lot of it is based on lineage, where their brother went, where their cousin went, where their parents went. But we are projecting 15 at the high school for next year for EMO students coming in, East Mauritius students coming in.
How many are falling off? How many come off as graduating?
No, we can give you that information.
On a percentage number, is that 15?
We had 15 coming in.
We have 15 coming in. We have a class of 135.
Look, Mr. Poe definitely knows because he's in my school system.
Is
he
graduating? Grade 12?
No.
No,
that's
right.
They're all our kids, so I don't really know.
Good answer. Perfect response.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes. I go with that.
Do we know how many last year we had in ninth grade? I mean, I'm trying to understand, are the numbers going up or down?
Yeah, the numbers percentage-wise are the same.
That's
been happening. It appears to be about the same range from about 20 to 25%.
Of their class.
Oh, yeah, four-year average, correct.
So how many do they have? How many East Mauritius kids are in ninth grade this year?
90.
East Mauritius kids. No. In here.
Yeah.
Oh, here now.
Yeah, I'd have to go back to the numbers in ninth grade now. I would say, you know, there could be 15 kids that are in ninth grade.
That's what I remembered. Rob, yeah, do you remember?
No, that seems, that's why that's we said
I'm just wondering if there's a revenue implication to 15 or not. That's what I'm
yeah.
getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to...
You're looking at the exiting class versus the incoming class.
You can look at it that way, or you can look at it as ninth grade now versus, you know, last yeah. year. Which I agree. But I guess the way you're saying it is the better way to look at it from a revenue perspective.
Right now, from a revenue perspective, we're looking at, we believe it's going to be a $131,000 increase for next year for East Mauritius, a 6.8%, 87%.
Increase from what it is this year?
Correct.
Because we're getting more ninth graders than 12th graders.
That you get more for them, and that we're getting, this is my guess right now because of the numbers, it's because we get more money each year, and it's because we're going to have more students at total. Next year than this year. You're not going to accept that, are you?
I understand
the
answer
is yes.
I got it.
The answer is yes, percentage-wise. I'm telling you, right now we're projecting $131,000 more than we get from East Mauritius.
And that's now, based on the 15 kids that you're projecting for this year.
Yeah, but what could happen is if you get a special education student, like say you have less students, but one of them's one more special education student, that's more money than a regular ed student. So we start looking at
it also costs us more money, right? And that's why it's more money.
Cost us more money depends on the class.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But
basically, this is early on right now. There's only 30 students at East Mauritius that have committed to where they're going so far out of their class of 90. So they have time to commit. We're watching it closely.
Out of those 30, how many have committed to come here?
We don't know yet.
I've confirmed eight.
And
I've confirmed right now.
Is that right?
Just got a text.
There you go. Right up, out of the press.
8 out of 30?
No. I have 8 confirmed. I just have 8 confirmed. They happen to be athletes. That's how I know.
Yeah.
I just got a text 5 minutes ago.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, as I was mentioning a moment ago, in terms of the high school, we do look at it a little different. Going back to sort of Lorianne's question, the total seats at the high school is the same ratio that we look at the middle school, meaning it's 25, we can go over 25, but obviously it's at a cost to the district. So that's 150 seats at 6 sections. So in ninth grade, what we're looking at is 35 available seats, 23 in grade 10, grade 11 we're at 0, and grade 12 we're at 11. Because once again, grade 11 for next year, it's a big class. It's 150 students. So looking at that, that was one of what we described in the past, like one of the bubble classes. So that bubble class now, next year, is going to be in 11th grade, which we don't have available seats. So that's the one grade that we have to really do a very good job in trying to schedule it to make sure that we keep the overages at a minimum to kind of defray the cost that will be, you know, associated with running those classes. Yes, they do. But we can't go over. We like I said, we seldom do, but there are occasions that we do, and we do have to, you know.
Well, 25.
Compensate.
It's 25.
Yes, 25. Anything over
25.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So at 25, we don't have to contribute anything above that. So we do try to work with our guidance counselors, work with our teachers, work with our administrators to try to create a schedule that's well balanced so that the sections would accommodate all of the students. But when you have 0 seats, sometimes that can be hard. So, but I think we did a good job this year. So I think we'll do the same job we did this year. I mean, next year that we did this year. Now, I just wanted to give the Board of Education and community sort of an example of what a typical high school schedule would look like. At the high school, obviously, students have to take the 4 mandated classes in terms of English, social studies, science, and math. We consider one of those core classes also to be language. Now, what we're doing that's interesting at the high school that we started last year is that all of our Algebra 2 classes now run with a lab, an additional lab class. So we have, I believe, received a lot of good feedback from our teachers and from our students in terms of that dedicating that additional instructional time to that Algebra 2 class. So some of our math classes do have a lab attachment. We have geometry with 2 sections out of lab. We have algebra, 2 sections out of lab.
Most of our science classes have that lab extension as well. We usually, from a scheduling point of view, we try to bounce off those labs with PE, which sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't. It depends on what the student has available. Generally, the students have a lunch, and we have, most of our students have two periods a day. We run an IP a day, two periods a day that are dedicated for electives. So that would generally make up a typical high school student schedule. For a high school to graduate from high school, they need 22 credits, 4 units of English, social studies, 3 units of math, science, 3.5 units of electives. They need a 0.5 health, 2 units of PE, and they need a unit of language. Most of our students, when they graduate high school, they far exceed the 22. Most of our students graduate with 27, 28. And each year, we try to introduce new courses, new electives, that students would want to take. And we've done a good job in terms of introducing courses that students are interested in. And each year, we try to look at how can we offer even more. So this is a chart that I created that looks at the 2017 enrollment per department, meaning how many students we have enrolled in every course that's offered within that department. The next column looks at the number of sections that we're running in those departments, and the next column looks at the FTEs. The FTEs is full-time equivalent. Each class at the high school represents a 0.2. So typically, most of our core teachers teach 5 classes, which is a 1.0. Our specials area teachers, as well as our special education teachers contractually, can teach a 1.2. So those are 6 classes. So the projections for this year are the same as next year. One of the things I wanted to just kind of mention to the board is that we looked at this last year because we looked at each year we try to reduce the number of kids in study halls. So we try to make a concerted effort to introduce new courses, to try to play around with the schedule, to ensure that students are not sort of spending idle time within the 9-period day. Typically, last year we were running 8.1 FTEs in electives. This year, as an increase of a 0.3 in social studies that we made from last year to this year, we are running 8.4. Typically, if you want to run a high school where you just have everyone in the class and no study hall, you need to run 9.8 to 10.8 FTEs. So that is something that, you know, technically we would have to hire 2 or 3 more teachers to kind of fill that load, but it is something that each year we try to chip away at.
So this is the study hall thing. You're saying effectively if you have one additional FTE,
you'll reduce the number of kids in study hall.
Reduce the number of kids.
Absolutely. If you have 2 or 3,
and that's for the section on your sample schedule, that's for section 9, period.
That's
for
section
9,
8 or 9. Yes.
Well, exactly. 8 is mandated.
8 is mandated.
So we're hitting that today.
So we're hitting
the
that.
It's transferring anybody who's in study hall to a non-mandated
elective.
Exactly. So the point of this is that for 1.4 to 2.4 FTEs, you do that. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, you are. So if we were able to increase the FTEs, we can fill those particular 9-period non-mandated electives with a class, and students will not be in a study hall.
With like 0.2s from another section if you consolidated a section or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a good idea, but that's an opportunity to do that if you have.
Yes, in the future it might be part of the discussion in the future. All right, so at the high school we have a principal, obviously we have an associate principal, who's our AD and a bunch of other titles that he wears. Mr. Doe is with us this evening. We have, once again, most of these positions are mandated as well. The guidance counselor, the librarian, the reading teacher was an addition that the Board of Education added to the high school and middle school sections about 2 years ago, which was a great help for us. The paraprofessional, the increase that you see at the bottom decrease from 15 to 13 is contributed with the paraprofessionals. So you do see that decrease coming from paraprofessionals, at least at the high school end, where you go from 7 to 5. And all the other positions are mandated with the exception of the additional support personnel, which we have obviously the clerical staff at 4.5, we have the custodians at 3, the buildings and grounds, the maintenance at a 0.5. We have one monitor that's in the cafeteria, and we have security staff at 3, which gives us a grand total of 62.1 and total additional support FTEs at 13. Any questions regarding this slide, Board?
So the net on the whole thing is 2 additional paras.
Two less paras.
But if you netted it out, elementary,
middle
school.
Yes.
2 additional paras.
Yes.
And?
That are IEP driven.
Right. Actually, 3 additional paras. 3 additional paras. That's the net.
We went from 50, yes. That is
3 right. Additional paras is the net change for this
net
year.
Yes.
Okay.
The last slide that I wanted to present to the board that we goes back to the conversation that you mentioned, Mr. Foster, in terms of looking at the 5-year growth plan that the administrators, you know, put together. At the beginning of this presentation, we had the opportunity to sit with all the principals, all the administrators, and we kind of questioned them in terms of, if you had the opportunity to grow your program, what would you want, what would you need? What are some of the necessities that you need?
These were the asks from last year when the administrators presented?
Some of them, yes.
Are there additional ones that were not asked last year?
Yes, and I'm going to explain that momentarily. So the first one that we wanted to just put for the Board of Education community's consideration is if we decided, based on the revenue numbers, based on the expenditure items, as we draw closer to finalizing the budget for the Board of Education's consideration, is the possibility of if we go to 4 sections in kindergarten, we would make the recommendation for an additional full-day monitor for supervisory purposes to assist the teachers with sort of orchestrating and some of the procedural things that traditionally happen in kindergarten in any, you know, in any building. So the additional full-day monitor would be for kindergarten if we went to 4 sections. If we decide to go to 5 sections, we feel that the teacher-to-student ratio is small enough that the management needs would not be as great.
So that would be a person that floated between the 4
yes,
classrooms
exactly.
And helped.
Exactly.
And that wasn't something that was on the 5-year projection for the administrative success, you know, when they came here last year. So some of them are and some of them aren't. That's something that we're looking at now with the numbers. And we're saying, well, if the board did go in the direction of 4 sections, would we want an additional monitor down there to assist the students going using the bathroom and things of that nature, especially when you have 4-year-olds, you know, that are in that grade. So that's one of the things that wouldn't be in what wasn't presented to you last year.
Right.
Yeah. Once again, as I mentioned in the beginning, some of these things that we're going to discuss, that we're discussing now, are part of the 5-year growth plan that was presented by the administrators. And some of these might be some things that we're looking at now and are kind of like emerging as things that we should really begin the conversation with. And that the next item is a sort of case in point, which is a 0.4 ENL teacher for the elementary and a 0.6 ENL teacher for the secondary complex. What's been happening with our ENL population is kind of interesting, and I don't think it's just indicative of the Center Richard School District. I think it's happening all over Long Island. When I looked at the enrollment numbers in comparison to the total number of ENL students that were enrolled in the district 5 years ago, they made up 2% of our population. Next year, it went to 2.5. Then it went to 3. Then it went to 3.5. This year is 4.67% of our overall population. Now, that's...
These are non-English language speakers
these are
or English
not,
as second language?
This is students that come in as... Based on what is called the NICET, it's New York State Language Assessment Battery test that they have to take. Based on their questionnaire, based on their results from that assessment, they are now identified as ENL students. English as a second language, ESL students, English as a second language.
Okay.
So based on their assessment score, we are obligated by law to provide them with instruction. If they come in as a beginner learner, you have to give them 3 periods a day of ENL instruction plus an inclusionary sort of like model. So you have a choice to give them an inclusionary model and sort of a pull-up model at the same time. Now, based on their assessment
score, is it all Spanish-speaking for the most
predominantly part, predominantly Spanish speaking. That's what we're seeing. Predominantly, the population that are identified as ESL students are from a Hispanic heritage, and English is definitely their second language. Now, what is really happening, which is interesting, is that a lot of the growth that we're seeing is happening at the high school, where I believe the high school went from 13 to almost 30 in like 2 years. And the population that we're getting are identified as SIFE students, students with interrupted formal education. So we're getting students at the high school that are coming to us at 15, and the last time they attended a formal educational setting might have been 3 years ago. Because in their particular country, maybe the formalized education may end in grade 6 or 7. Or maybe they start attending school in grade 6 or 7. So now they're coming to us as a chronological 10th grader, but they've had this educational gap. So when you have such students, not only do you have to provide them with the mandated instruction that's stipulated by New York State Department of Education based on the 3 sections or 2 sections, but you also have to give them, on top of that, remediation to try to catch them up. Now, we've done that this year internally. It's a major strain.
Because we don't have the expertise, or because
no, it's not the expertise. It's the second. It's the latter. There's no question about it. The teacher right now at the secondary complex, we can only group students based on 2 grades now. So we have to keep the 9 and 10 together and then the 11 and 12 together. So at one particular time, she has 16, 17 students in that particular classroom with all divergent needs, all very diverse needs, very diverse backgrounds. And to sort of develop an instructional program for that many students that is meaningful and really is going to sort of meet their individualized needs, it's difficult. It's a challenge. So this request actually came from all 3 principals, all administrators. And what was interesting is that we had this conversation with them in isolation to see what they would say. And everyone said, we need more E&L staff. We need it. We're getting to a point that the servicing of our kids is a challenge. So it is something that, once again, we have to put it on the Board of Education community radar, something that we do have to consider, we do have to, you know, at least discuss and open up that conversation.
I just need to see those, and so everything you said makes a ton of sense, but I'd like to see that 5-year kind of ask and, you know, that prioritization. So you've now come and said, well, these additional things should jump ahead of the plan that we had last year, which maybe is the right answer. But as I sit here, I don't know what things that are jumping ahead. And I would assume that you said when the building level administrators looked at this and did this, they've now redetermined that those are more important. I just want to make sure we have some level of track.
Yeah. Well, what's happening? Or did they just add some things? Because remember, you're going to get the 5-year presentation with the administrative unit.
And
you're going to be able to take last year's and actually just push out a column,
right,
and say, well, did we lose anything? Did they pull anything out, or did this take priority over anything? One thing you said, I think, Mr. Soto, I was looking at something else. You got me on the email number, so I was there at that. But if I'm not mistaken, hopefully in the beginning, is this is, of course, fluid with the budget. Remember that, because, again, these things right now, I don't think are taking priority over what we already have planned right now that I can think of.
The only reason I ask is that 5-year plan is to, you know, whether you're implementing something that's then going to grow across and you're going to have to add to.
But I don't think we had any staffing in there. We had the NYEP program. We had additional clubs, things of that nature.
We did.
But I don't think we needed
additional staff. The only staffing that we had, if I recall correctly, was a clinician, which we added last year, successfully.
Yeah, that was it.
And there was a low piece, the .6, which we added last year as well.
Yeah.
So in terms
when you come to that decision making and the recommendation, I just want to see
Absolutely. That, you know, of course.
As you said, that additional column.
Yeah, once again, like I said, this is just items that I think the Board of Education has to be aware of in terms of we may be at a point that we have to sort of make a decision regarding this. Mm-hmm. The next item is something that was recommended by the secondary complex. And once again, it wasn't part of the 5-year projection. I'm just, you know, I'll put it out there, Josh. But it is something that we are looking at. One of the things that we did, and I'm happy to see Marcus and Bill here from the Technology Committee, is that as of 2 weeks ago, finally, New York State Department of Education approved our Smart Schools Improvement Plan. No fault of anything that I think anyone did. The review board met literally three times. The last time they met was in July, and then they meet again until January 13th. So we were one of the plans that were approved, and part of that plan is a sort of a security initiative in terms of technology that will be dedicated to the purpose of security, such as additional exterior and internal cameras, badge, swipe system, an ID system. That's all part of that. The intercom system that we're going to do at the elementary. So that's all going to get done. But in addition to that, one of the sort of outcries that we heard from the secondary complex administrative staff is that they need an additional body. Right now, there are three security officers at the secondary complex, and they all have different posts. One we have in the car, one is an internal post, and the other one is a roamer. Now, what happens periodically throughout the day is that that roamer goes to the elementary school and to relieve the current two staff members that are there. He helps out with the buses, doing arrival and dismissal time. So it's kind of almost like a 2.5. Now, one of the things that Ms. Reggio Bates and Mr. Caswell mentioned is that it would be great if we had another security guard to act sort of to take the responsibility of a new post, which would be an exterior of the building post and also a middle school post. Unfortunately, due to, I think, the lack of staff, there isn't a lot of presence at the middle school in terms of security. So it is something that we feel would be beneficial.
But I just want to add one thing. The board, I think you're aware of this. We are going to have a comprehensive review, right, and also a threat assessment over the next probably 2 months from an outside agency as well as the Suffolk County Police Department, just to look at what we do and also speak about that, you know, whether it's after school from 3 to 5, like where are really our needs. I also agree with what you said because you spoke about cameras. You know, do you have an eye in the sky at some point in time where somebody's literally in a room looking at all of these cameras? That could be where the person's stationed. The middle school, of course, is always a discussion about somebody monitoring inside there and being a rover from that building to the high school. So I'm hoping the comprehensive review will bring some of these things forth to the board and be able to explain the way they see it. But
my presumption would be that review will say, here's how you can best utilize the people that you've got, yeah, and to be super secure, we recommend you add one in this area or two in this area. You know,
we thought
that might be the recommendation.
Yeah, just thought of today that we had a long discussion about this because we thought we'd be remiss if we didn't at least put it in here because just so obviously we're lay people, we're not security personnel, but we thought it was important for you all to hear that we're in discussion with this. From our view, we believe it would be beneficial to have an additional security. Of course, there's always financial pieces to that. We get that. But we thought it would be important for you to hear that tonight and be put on this presentation.
Okay. The next two items were directly sort of taken from the five-year plan that the administrative team sort of put together. And the 0.4 business, for years now, for the last 2 years, we've had our business teacher at the secondary complex at the high school teach at 1.4. Now, 1.4 is 7 classes out of a 9-period day. Each year, when we do, when we look at the course requests, meaning students are requesting courses that they are interested to take for the following year, we unfortunately have to reduce the sections that could run for business, for the department itself. Because unfortunately, we just have the one staff member. We don't have anyone else in the building that's business certified that's available to kind of pick up the FTEs. So this is a request from the secondary staff in terms of the administrators where they said, you know, we could really use that 0.4 business. We could fill it easily. We can take some of the kids out of study hall, and we can allocate a 0.4 to business, possibly getting a 0.4 business teacher, a part-time business teacher to come into the high school and now offer the kids the sections that they are putting in for. So that
would still have one person do 1.4
4, and then you have an additional 0.4.
Yeah, so the grand total would be a 1.8.
So, yeah, that's one question.
Exactly.
It wasn't, I first thought you were saying
no,
reduce the person to 1.
No, unfortunately, we still plan to keep the person at the 1.4. I mean, I think we're kind of running the poor guy ragged, but yeah. He is projected to be at a 1.4 next year. Okay? The other piece sort of came out of a compilation of a lot of different discussions that we had. Last year, the administrators, and the year before that, the administrators presented the need for sort of bridging that gap that might exist with the communication with the community. How can we sort of build sort of an outreach person, or how can we develop an outreach person that would now move into the community, reach the parents that really need the assistance, especially with the ENL population increasing the way it has over the last 5 years? Could we find someone who has this ability to now sort of bridge that gap with certain community members? Could we build workshops within the school district for parents? And in addition to that, there was a discussion last year about the possibility of how can we incorporate the process of grant writing. As we all know, there's a lot of funds out there available to different organizations, different agencies, where if you know how to write a grant, you can get it. But unfortunately, I mean, Mr. Golia and I, we've done this many times, it's a process. Some of the grants are small, but some of them are very long, and it requires a tremendous amount of time. It requires a tremendous amount of writing, and some of the grants that you apply for, even when you're awarded the grants, you have to write sort of follow-up reports as to how you have effectively utilized the funds that the agency or organization has given you. So it is sort of at least a part-time, a full-time position, something that we can sort of morph into this position. We also, the Board of Education, created a survey this year and put one of the questions out to the staff as to whether or not would you be interested in writing grants? And if you are, how would you be compensated? Generally speaking, if I recall correctly, most of the responses was, yeah, we would be interested if we were compensated. So I think this community outreach liaison position would fill that need. And once again, this did come from sort of the five-year plan that it was sort of morphed into that as a result of it. And it did actually come from the survey idea with in terms of the grant writing.
Okay. One of the things, do you mind, Ricardo, and I know we had lengthy discussions about load.
Yes.
In some of our meetings as well. I know it's not here now, but I think it's worthy of at least discussing.
Sure,
I know we're still evaluating what we did from last year to this year with the increase.
And that becomes the issue. Last year, we added a 0.6 to the middle school, which I think worked out beautifully. We created for 6th grade and 7th grade an A-B schedule for the entire year. So we increased the orphans of load at the middle school by almost an entire year. Now, the discussion came from the load teachers as well as Ms. Rogier Bates and all of us as we discussed this issue as to whether or not could we now increase the FTEs in load and could we introduce it at the elementary. And I think, Brian, you mentioned at the last meeting, so we did definitely take your recommendation and your conversation very seriously because we wanted to see, could we now sort of introduce it at the elementary, make it more exploratory, so by the time they get to middle school, they can now declare a language. So it's because at the 6th grade, it's exploratory. So they have half a year French, half a year Spanish, and then when they get to 7th grade, they declare which language they want to take. Now, if we introduce it at the elementary level as exploratory, by the time they get to middle school, they can now declare which language, and they would have that additional year of instruction in that language, thus making their skill set far greater by the time they reach 9th grade.
Yeah. And the only reason we didn't put it on yet is because I really want to understand from the assistant superintendents, two of them, how we did this year, a full evaluation of what we've done, and how we did, in their opinion, before we put it on. Although, of course, for my children, I think all the children, we know it's beneficial. But I wanted to hear that first before we even put that on. They say,
yeah.
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 I think that you know, like, of course, there are always staffing considerations and certification considerations, but, you know, the feedback that Mrs. Bates and I recently had a meeting with the middle school load staff, and one of the staff members is also a high school staff. We are always thinking of the end, you know, at the high school and how this would not just experience their world language education, but their education overall. Mm-hmm. And the language teachers have had such just positive response to it. They have a lot of momentum, so it's something you're going to, I think, continue to hear about as we look at our five-year plan and we discuss the expansion of load. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and usually I don't think we put this last slide on here.
We did it.
I think because we're having such good conversations in our AC meetings, we wanted the board to be included early on in these discussions. There's a lot more to come, a lot more presentations, but early on, these are the discussions we're having every other week with our large group, and we thought you'd want to hear some of the things we're discussing.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Next section on the agenda tonight is questions or comments from the community regarding tonight's agenda. Do we have any questions or comments regarding tonight's agenda? Okay. Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting of January 11th, 2017. Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor? Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resignations.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of the schools, the Board of Education includes the following employee for leave of absence.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of the schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee to return to service.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2016-2017 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teaching and support staff vacancies for 2016-2017. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as at the established cost contained in said contracts, and authorizes the president to sign said contract.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. I just want to point out Teamsters contract CBA, that was a consolidation of prior MLAs just to one unit with no one
document.
Thank you. With no substantive changes.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the transfer of funds from the employee benefit accrued liability reserve for the payment of final settlements for retiree employee and increase the budget accordingly.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the payments of final settlements for the retiree as an employer non-election contribution under 403B regulations in lieu of a direct payment in payroll effective January 31, 2017.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following grant in aid.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of equipment and vehicles.
Carol, what's the Exhibit 5 disposition? What was it?
That is one is a pickup truck, 95 Dodge, a golf cart, and a water scrubber.
An auto scrubber?
Water scrubber.
Okay.
Four,
oh, right.
They're poor condition.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor? Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, Board of Education accepts the following donation.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. We want to thank the PTA for everything they do to help us. It's very well received and very much appreciated.
Be it resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education hereby approves the attached field trip request being paid to the CTEI Perkins Grant as written below.
What is that?
It's a grant that we receive annually, and usually it's devoted to usually something technical. Jeff Mishler typically runs something, purchases programs. You can take field trips. It's run for BOCES. So
we applied for a grant. We received the grant. The grant paid for the field trip to New York City.
Correct.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. And this is something that Mr. Mishler applied for. Mm-hmm. So, come on, thank you. It's a great thing and a great.
Yeah, he's been involved with it for several years.
He's been
kind of taking the charge on that, but then and uses the money in various areas.
Right. No, I think
he's
that's phenomenal.
He's diligent about following up with it. He goes to the BOCES meetings, the consortium meetings about the Perkins Grant.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very dedicated to that, and I think he sees the benefit of it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's phenomenal. So, certainly above and beyond. And
I think our kids,
I want to thank him for the time.
Carol Perkins' name, too.
Yeah.
No, she signs for it.
I'm not saying
she does put her name down.
So, yeah.
Perkins Grant. I'm giving it to her.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the school's Central Emergency Board of Education approves the Youth and Government Club to attend the YMCA Youth in Government State Conference in Albany, New York on March 10th, 11th, and 12th.
And the, and the criminal justice class to attend the Tabian People's Court in Connecticut on April 5th, 2017, and the fourth grade class to travel to the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey on June 15th, 2017. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
This is the second time in our kids who've gotten to go to the People's Court in Stanford. Did they go earlier?
More than second time. I believe they've done it for years, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, second time this year.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following individuals for the 2016-2017 curriculum and instruction.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for volunteering to participate on the committee. So that brings us to the next section of the agenda tonight. Questions and comments from the community on items not on tonight's agenda. Does anybody have any questions or comments on items not on tonight's agenda? Yes. So we're recording. If you just step up to the mic and state your name and you'll be recorded, but we'll have it.
My name is Karen Denniston. I have two children that have been going to the school for 5 years. And for different reasons, I've had to move out of the community. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
My daughter, Irene, is in the middle school. My daughter, Cameron, is in the elementary school in the special education program. And they want me to move the kids out of the school Friday. And I was told to appeal to the board to see if they could finish out the year. I think it's going to be very difficult, especially for Cameron, who's in special education, to make this transition to a different place. I understand that they have to move schools. I've never heard of a school moving a child in the middle of the year.
We can talk about it outside of this, obviously, but do you have information that we can talk about in exact?
Yeah, and I just would ask, if you don't mind, Mr. Asim, just want to request to the board in writing, if you
I tried to call Mr. Soto several times this week, and I couldn't get a response.
No, I'm saying you can put, you and I spoke this week.
But I didn't know how to do it.
That's okay. It could be a one-liner.
But I only have till Friday. The girls have to stop. I was told the girls can't go to school after Friday.
Right. Yeah, I have all the information to the board, so I can certainly speak to them about it.
But what do I do now? I mean, I only have till Friday.
Right.
So what do I do? They don't go to school? I mean, I don't know what to do.
Right. Right. As of right now, again, it's your issue right now as a parent. I don't think I would discuss it publicly, the whole issue, in front of the public. But at this point in time, you have appealed to the board about your children staying in school district.
Right.
And
so
I will certainly speak to them.
But what do I do after Friday? They can't come to school after Friday?
So we'll let us talk about it in exact session, and can you respond back tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that's the best we can do.
I understand with you know, your position. I really do. I just,
sure.
I mean, you know, especially my special ed one, she was beside herself.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Let us, you know, we go into executive session, we talk about things that are confidential and that are, you know, personnel
and
matters.
Like I said, I did try to find out. It was actually recommended by another school to me that I come before the board because no one here told me to do that. Mm-hmm. Or I would have put it in writing previously.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments, items not on tonight's agenda? Okay, motion to adjourn. So the next meeting is February 8th, 2017, 7:30 in the district office. Just so that I can know, what's the presentation, the budget presentation at the next meeting?
Salaries.
Salaries. Okay, so there'll be a salary benefit.
That's on the
website. And it'll be online too. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing proposed pending current litigation, matters the disclosure of which would result in an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.